I was giving a lot of thought about what I was going to be talking about today, and I'm, you know, I'm just can't seem to come up with a subject in the last 6 months since Rick asked us to do this. You know, because, you know, our thoughts change all the time. What's bothering us? What's getting on our mind? Good morning. And, you know, what can I focus in on? What, you know, so still a month ago, I'm still at a loss for it. So as time is going on, you know, we got the elections coming up. And that tends to bring out a lot of emotions in people. You know, recently I've been been listening to the candidates and listening just to government in general, and I want to punch a hole through the TV. You know, and I'm in no particular party or nothing. It's just the behavior of our government. You know, and it gets me to wonder, it's like, you know, what is our responsibility to this? How should I be reacting? How should I be looking at this? You know, and as I started looking into the study, the Bible can be a bit sobering in this way, but also can give you a way how to deal with this, right? Everybody turn to Romans 13. As we know, government is one of the four institutions given by God. We've got volition, we got marriage, we got family. And then, of course, we got nationalism or government, right? God gave us that. You know, because if you start getting a big group of people together, you got to start managing this somehow, right? Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Okay, God ordained government. You know, he gave us a way to manage ourselves. A way to carry out his laws, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But what is the purpose of this, right? Let's continue on. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Huh, okay. That got me thinking a little bit about how I was reacting to our own government. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for the beareth not the sword in vain. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So government's responsibility is to enforce the laws, in essence. That's the way I take that. To whatever extreme is necessary. And it's up to that government to make up that mind, at least the way we have things written now, to determine what the punishment would be. It's not for us to carry that out. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Sorry, guys, got to pay the taxes. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to who custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We need to honor our government. We need our government. Matthew 22. As the last time I spoke, everybody reminded me that I need to repeat the verses more, so I'm going to make sure I get that down today. If not, anything else happens, right? Then went the Pharisees. Verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. This is Jesus before the Herodians. And they sent out, unto him their disciples with, Okay, excuse me. Yes, this is the right one. Sorry. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? It is lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? It's a great question. Show me the tribute money. And they showed him unto... But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto him, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. So yes, again, we got to pay taxes. But nonetheless, is you notice that marveled in there. They were quite taken aback by his teaching. You know, and there's a key in that marveled. Go to me with 1 Peter chapter 2. So chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Continue on, verse 14. Verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. This is the verse that struck me right here. This is the one that got a hold of me. Is the thinking of our attitude towards government and our service to government has everything to do with how we are seen by the world. By honoring that government, honoring our obligations to our government, we are honoring God. And that's where I was like, you know what? There's the problem with my attitude. Should I have an opinion during election time? Sure. We got to make a very important decision. But we are honoring God by making that important decision. But I've got to have the right attitude, the facts. Not on the emotions, on the facts. The emotions will help us understand whether things are going right or wrong. Especially if I'm strongly reacting, that's telling me I'm going wrong. That's where it helps me. If I'm at peace with what I'm hearing, or if I feel that this is the right thing for our country, if you will. That's about the most generic way I can think about saying it. Is this what we need at this time? Do I feel peace with that? Right? It helps me decide. And so me having an opinion is not the issue. Me, how I react to that is the issue. Because you guys all know me. I can be a very emotional individual. Has anybody ever experienced that? Honey, do you have anything to share? Thank you. please do. So when I think about this, what is it we should do? What is our part and role in this? Go to 1 Timothy 2. Yesterday when I realized this, it took me till yesterday until I got to the point of realizing something. Pardon me. Starting in verse 1. Exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks may be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Right? When we're doing what we are supposed to do in God's will, it brings a peaceable life. We don't have trouble with our government. They're not necessarily looking at us, right? That's the exact example we want to be. We all want to be that. We know that. Why? Why this? Why live this peaceable life? Why do it God's way, right? Why be subject to our authorities? Well, it's funny. It comes right up to God's will for all mankind, doesn't it? And this is it just didn't occur to me after reading these two verses all these years, what was right before them. Sometimes you got to remember to read the context. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to unto the knowledge of the truth. Right? I mean, by us being obedient to our governorship, if you will, we are helping men to get saved because they see a difference. The point is to be that difference. It's not our own efforts. It's on God's plan. Continue in verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus... For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So when we're praying for our leaders, right? We don't want to be doing it out of wrath. We don't want to be praying for something bad to happen to them, right? What I tend to pray for is wisdom. Maybe expressing my concern in that prayer, and that's fine. But that they come to the wisdom, sound judgment, discernment. I'm sure plenty of us have felt that way at times. One thing that always kept pointing me at Daniel, going to the book of Daniel. Pardon me. The book of Daniel. Chapter 1. Now bear with me on this one. I'm going to basically read the entire book of first chapter of Daniel. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. Well, no, Brian, remember I asked you, you're going to do chapters 2 through 9, right? Okay, thanks. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So Israel, the fall of Israel, politically, has just taken place. And the king spake unto Asenaz and the master of his eunuchs that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes. Can you imagine what those children were going through? We have a lot of complaints about our governments today, but look at what the kids and people had to go through then. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, then that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and unto Mishael, Meshach, and unto Azariah of Abednego. I cannot get myself that right. Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He purposed in his heart. Nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel's purpose in his heart is, I'm here to do what God is here to have me do. Is what he has commanded me to do. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king? Wow. So Daniel's making a request here, a respectfully request, because he purposes volition. He purposed in his heart. That's volition. One of the institutions of God, right? But now he's making a request that's going to possibly cut the head off of the person he's making a request to. Do you think I'm getting a lot of agreement there? No, I don't think that's going to go too well. But here, right, Daniel gives him a way out. And this is wisdom. This is God's wisdom playing out here. Then said Daniel to Melzar, from whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. So let's test it. Come on, boss, let's try this out. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. It's like, hey, boss, I'm giving you a path of wisdom here. Let's try this out. What hurts 10 days, right? That's how we'd say it in modern lingo. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So up to this point, the wisdom has been carried out. There's a benefit. Things are actually better for the children if they do it God's way, right? And now we're getting to, wait, now what's the consequence of this? Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, this is 3 years later now, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king. So up to this point, barring what started in verse 1, they had lived peaceably life. They weren't defiling the government. They instead asked permission. Can we make an exception to try something out here? Did it respectfully. Understood the authority of the prince. I truly believe if, let's just change it for a moment. Let's just say if the prince had insisted, no, you need to eat the meat, that Daniel would have done that out of obedience. That's what God calls us to do. Obviously, that was not God's purpose. God, being in time past, was directly intervening. Right? Brought favor upon, as we saw. Now, and in all the matters of wisdom, and verse 20, and in all the matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto this first year of King Cyrus. You know, it just occurred to me. Sometimes people say the most profound things because they bring out a fact that a lot of other people still don't even consider in a particular argument. And you know, when I see that 10 times better than all magicians and astrologers, that's because what are they dealing with? It's truth. You can't deny truth. Truth is what it is, it always is what it is, it never will be anything else. It may not necessarily apply at the moment, but it is what it is. It cannot change. People may manipulate it, may try to turn it into something else, spin it. Let's put the election spin on it, right? Spin it, but it is what it is. You can't avoid it. But Daniel's always taken account with me of what he went through and what he turned out to be, so highly honored in the way that he was. Because he chose to be obedient to the Lord. Let's go to Daniel 2. Because there's times when sometimes we're being asked to do something that we just can't do. I'm sorry, no, that's not this passage, excuse me. I'll get to that a little later. Verse 46. Then King, chapter 2, verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. So again, Daniel starting out being obedient to government was glorifying God. Even Nebuchadnezzar here is recognizing that. He's a God of gods. It goes from uppercase to lowercase in that statement, right? Oh, continuing in verse 48. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, again a request, understanding his authority. And he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So Daniel is the head honcho, but he understood the wisdom of placing the other three, managing the provinces. Right? So again, you know, glorifying God, Nebuchadnezzar, even who Nebuchadnezzar is, we all know who he is, understood that wisdom and saw God glorified and knew that these are the right guys to carry this out because of their obedience. But is there exceptions? Is there times when we should take this account? Well, let's take a look here. Let's take a look at Acts version chapter 5. Here in verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Right? The focus always on God. And this is not an exception here, but let me go to, Daniel, I'm sorry, I should have kept your finger in Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 3, verse 18. We're all aware of the golden statue. Verse 17, actually, if it be in Daniel, verse chapter 3, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. So here's Daniel about to be thrown into a fiery furnace. I just cannot imagine this. You know, I'm reading it right here. I know what the truth is saying, but here's where my emotions get in the way. I'm going, is this kid crazy? Well, more adult now. More adult than I am, frankly. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image with that which thou hast set up. He's doing that under the conviction of God. And he knows that Nebuchadnezzar, at least in the back of his mind, knows better. At least in the back of his mind. But Nebuchadnezzar's going to carry this out. And as we know, it becomes a harmless furnace. We all know that story. Go to Exodus chapter 1. Verse 17, Exodus chapter 1, verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men, children alive? So the king of Egypt has ordained that all the men, all the children, all the babies, all the male babies need to be killed. Again, that's what the governments were like then and what they went through. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And of course, we know that Moses eventually came out from all that. Right? But they were obedient to the sanctity of life there, as far as that issue is concerned. You know, to consider being told to ask to kill innocents. It's unfathomable. But what is our role in this? Like we read it in the book of Daniel, right? The purpose in our heart. Oh, I shouldn't hit that. Purpose in our heart. To do what God commands us to do. It's all by grace, guys. When I say command, he gives us instruction. He gives us the purpose. He gives us why. When it comes to our government, be obedient to our laws. Right? It's a suggestion. No, it's... Yes. Daniel 2:46. Yes, I know. I've been there. My daughter, now that she's learning how to drive, often reminds me of the speed limit. She questions me going, why are you going that fast, Dad? I'm going, well, I want to stay with the pace of traffic. And actually, that really is my style of driving. Let me put it together. But as a result of following our government, we've already read this verse, but Nebuchadnezzar gave Daniel great responsibility. And why? Because he was being obedient to God. And as a result, he was being obedient to Nebuchadnezzar. When exceptions came out, he dealt with it. He dealt with it with respect. And he was willing to pay the consequences, to willing to go through the consequences, the fire furnace. He went through that. Because when it all comes down to it, guys, Acts chapter 17, this is what really matters in the end. And this is what I've got to keep in my mind. Because until yesterday, I really did not remember this passage. I mean, I knew it was there, but I did not remember it. It's funny how when you got to get in front of everybody, all of a sudden now, oh, yeah, it starts. A lot of that comes out of your mouth as you're putting things together. chapter 17, verse 24. God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek, the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art of man's device. And the times of this ignorance of God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, the man whom he hath adorned, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. It all works towards this, guys. We're all part of this big plan that God put together. And if anything that helps summed up to me our responsibility to government, being obedient to government, is what God's ultimately looking towards, the end. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the ordinances you've given us, Lord, and the institutions you've given us, Lord, and of government, Lord. Help us lift them up, Lord. Help us be a light unto the world by our obedience to them. And Lord, just thank you so much for your grace that allows us to make the right decisions and gives us the capability to carry out the right decisions. And I pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.